This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
But I do want to talk a little
bit. Oh, he's back.
There's Kling.
Do the sport.
Hey, come here and take a picture real quick.
There it is. We're still talking about you, Kling.
Some sports in here.
We're still talking about Kling as he ran in for one last selfie with Dusty.
Do some sports. Jeez.
Now
hey,
Kling's
going to.
Give me
some love. Give me some love. Don't leave me hanging.
Kling's going to be the guy now that just texts in all the time complaining. That'll be Kling going forward.
I can't wait for your Way Back Wednesday song.
Gonna miss that guy.
There, I thought he left, man. I thought he was done. Why
he's
did he come back
leaving.
To the studio? I thought he was that was his last walk in the studio.
I'm gonna freaking cry today, man. I don't want to. I'm already getting emotional. I'm like, I'm shaking, and it's not because of caffeine. I freaking love that dude, man. God, what a guy, dude. I am gonna freaking cry.
913-586-7610. Jay Southland. Toe service text line. If we could possibly transition a little bit to last night, the All-Star game took place, and we knew that there was going to be a stage for four Royals players, and we didn't know how much they're going to play. We didn't know when, and I think we were right. Salvador Perez ended up playing the most because he came in and caught once Adley Rutschman was no longer the catcher and all that. Can I just be honest? As much as it was great to see Royals players there, it was boring, man. The All-Star game was boring. Boring, boring, boring. And I'm glad Reagans and Lugo both had scoreless innings. And
yeah.
It was cool when Witt and Reagans and Salvi were all on the field at the same time. I appreciate that from Boshi, the manager of the Rangers, who was the AL manager. But the All-Star game is boring. It just is.
Yeah. I mean, I try to warn you. I tried to talk about that on Monday. I was like, you know, the home run derby is going to be great. The All-Star game is meh, right? We could get into, I know I was talking to Bob last night. He was just absolutely floored with how bad the uniforms are.
Oh, yeah.
We were texting each other.
They got to go back to the.
Right. It just give me the classic look. But yeah, like we knew this was going to happen. Like you just kind of know, right? I mean, like the other thing too is that all the action in the game happened in like what, the third inning? Ohtani hits a 3-run bomb. The American League comes right back and answers. And then Duran hits the go ahead home run. And then there was just nothing after that. The one positive I will say though, it was done by 9:55. It was done before 10 o'clock.
It was done early. It moved.
Unless you watched the MVP celebration, you could have slipped right into the news. This wasn't a 3.5-hour game. And you got a lot of what you wanted to see that you knew you were going to see. But I thought the pregame stuff was great. Like the Bob Uecker thing was amazing. I did not know he was 90. And then I thought that I always get kind of goofy with the announcements. Obviously, when they do
honestly,
all the,
that's sometimes the coolest part of the whole thing.
Yeah, and then the game starts, and you're basically spent because Home Run Derby did it to you the night before, right? Drew could probably go longer, but
pause.
But you've got the Home Run Derby the night before, which is electrifying. Then you get to like the actual game. They're interviewing Bryce Harper. They're talking to people like that. And I will say one thing: I was happy with because I watched the entire game because I'm a loser, and I watched the entire game. I did love. The David Ortiz going into the dugout
that was cool.
During game. And I loved how he just interviewed people. And then like, he's like, how you feel about this at bat, Bobby? He's like, I'm just going to, take it all. He's like, hit it to the moon. And he just basically going up there like, hey, don't worry about that. Just go up there and swing as hard as you can. If you hit it, you hit something, you hit something. But yeah, game. anticlimactic, right? There's nothing really heroic going on. The American League's now won 10 of 11. It's kind of been a dominant show. Plus, it's like I said yesterday, it's like all the best pitchers. So to me, the advantage is just every inning, the next guy that comes in is just going to be dominant. You see, you know, Class A or Class for Cleveland gets the final out, and it was cool to see Salvador Perez catch that and have a celebratory.
Yeah, I love the roles being represented for
and that was the cool thing
that
we got.
Just like the game itself, and I think that's been that way for a long time anyway. Now that, you know, not to go back to the Bud Selig days of like it actually means something now and home field advantage and all that. I'm not saying we need to necessarily do that again.
No, that was dumb.
I'm not saying that, but just, yeah, it's just hard to get into. This is what most all-star games, I mean, most sports teams, all-star, Pro Bowl, whatever you want to call it, they all stink. They all stink. This is still better than the alternatives that we've seen other leagues do.
Yeah.
And Major League Baseball, the Home Run Derby, they got to keep leaning into that. That's their big show at the all-star break. That's the showcase that I think is exciting for a lot of people. Someone said on the text line, was the anthem better? Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Yeah, Cody Johnson, man.
Yeah, no issue with the anthem last night. That was nice to see.
It was also weird how they went like full Texas, but then it turned into like a Texas Roadhouse rave.
Did they have the rolls with the butter, man? And that'd be sad.
Roll guy.
Their rolls are great. I had it over the weekend.
Although there's a place, the Town and Company, it's in the Kansas City Hotel.
Okay.
It's a restaurant. They have these little rolls with this like carrot spread. Oh my God. It's so good. But it was interesting. They started the game off. They had like this guy come out on his horse with the lasso. Then the horse went away. Then they had like four cowgirls drive their horses all the way or ride their horses all the way over to the outfield. Did the national anthem. Cody Johnson comes out, cowboy hat on, boots, nails it.
Yeah.
And then they had these like side cowboys doing the lasso during the introductions while they gave the players the cowboy hats to give the kids. Very awkward. Very awkward. And then they had just like EDM music playing. You're like, am I like in a Texas acid trip? That's how I felt during lineups. And then you see the uniforms and you're like, somebody on Twitter told me they look like they glow in the dark. And I was like, I don't know what's going on.
The National League ones weren't that bad, actually.
Yeah.
The American League ones horrendous. Someone on the text line said, it's like the Timu, like you ordered them off of Timu, and this was the crappy baseball uniforms they sent back.
Could be.
That's basically
they looked like slow pitch softball players.
Yeah, it wasn't great. Just all-star game. It was what it was. And now we have a couple days till we get some sports back in our lives.
Yeah, somebody will play Thursday, though. There's always a couple of teams that play it Thursday, right?
I don't know. Is that true? I don't know. Yeah.
I thought they used to be that. It may not be, though.
I mean, I would like that, but I know the Royals obviously open up their series this weekend on Friday. I don't think they're playing Thursday.
Yeah, right? No Thursday. It's just all Fridays. Yeah, Royals, White Sox, Fridays at 7.
Typically, I think maybe they used to do the Thursday thing. It's been a little while.
I thought there was always like two or three teams that would play the four-game series, but now I think it's probably just like a unanimous decision where everybody gets the 2 days off after.
When the second half of the season or post-All-Star break, because technically they're already in the second half of the season game-wise, but when they get going again this weekend, what's the biggest concern you would have? If I told you that we fast forward to the end of September and unfortunately this team only finishes at 500, which would not be good enough for a playoff spot, which is funny because in March, if I said they're going to finish 500, we all would have signed up for it, I think.
Yeah.
But now we know what this team is. We know they're right in the wild card race. We know that they are in third place in this division. They went out and added a bullpen arm. We'll see what that actually brings and what other moves they make. But if this team were to only finish 500 or worse, what do you think that reason would be? What's the biggest concern? Because I think one is evidence. I asked JJ Piccolo about it yesterday, and that would be the inning threshold and workload of Lugo and Reagans and other pitchers that are going to pitch more innings this year than they ever have in their career. I'm not saying all these guys' arms are going to fall off, but I think it's a valid concern. If you told me that somehow this team did not end up finishing 86-plus games, wins, it would mean that Reagans or Lugo suddenly less effective because more innings pitched than ever before, or there was some sort of injury like that. I think that's the one issue that could hold them back would just be, do they still have this dominant of a rotation? I mean, that's a tall ask to think that Lugo's putting together the exact same second half of the season as first, because he had an unbelievable first half of the season.
I think that's a fair one to have just because you're, you know, concerned, obviously, because somebody's just been so electrifying for half a season. I would say, obviously, the elephant in the room would be, like, injuries, right? Like, you just had one to MJ Melendez. I know he hasn't been everybody's favorite player, but that's now a starter that you have to fulfill a spot for, depending on how long that ankle injury is or whatever, the injury that he has to his foot from hitting that bag awkward. But somebody's going to have to come up. You said maybe it was Nelly. He's going to get the call up again, or it could be Drew Waters, but we don't know yet. That move will probably be announced either today or tomorrow.
Vern at 12:30, see what he thinks, what he's hearing.
And but I would say that like the concern that I would have is that Bobby Witt's the only productive bat in the lineup. If I have to take the opposite of pitching, because Salvador Perez towards the end of the break started to get hot again. If he's hitting, Bobby's hitting, and Vinny's hitting, you have that little meat of your sandwich in the lineup that actually produces and can put runs on the board, and then you can lean into your pitching staff and trust in them to keep it into a close game. I think if I take something away from that and do a pitcher, I would say it's Brady Singer. We've seen before Brady Singer's never really put together a full year. He's put together a tremendous second half. He's put together a good first half and then another first half, but he's never put two full halves together. And his last start was not one that he wants to remember, but it was one of very few in the first half, which is a positive thing to see from his game the first half. Now, can we carry this over? And I'm not saying that he's going to finish the year with a low 3 ERA or a sub 3 ERA. I mean, that'd be awesome. But I'd like to see Brady Singer really kind of make another leap towards being like a dominant pitcher that he is, because I think in a lot of cases, some teams would like to eventually see him be like your number two guy. And right now he's been a solid fill at number three. And I think if Brady Singer can continue that, I'd be concerned a little bit that it doesn't hold up, similar to the Lugo thing, as if you say it's taxation on the arm. Mine is just like the undenied or the, you know, the unknown of what Brady Singer can do for a full year. Not a shot at Brady. I just want to see if he can put that first half similar to a second half and embody it all together.
On the flip side, does it balance out? Is the rotation a little, is there a little bit of regression there, but is the bullpen better? Like, I think the bullpen will be better in the second half of the season. One, because I do think the Hunter Harvey acquisition absolutely makes the bullpen better. I think they're still going to make one more move. And if we do look at the last month, suddenly, Bubich is part of the bullpen, wasn't part of it before. Mm-hmm. MacArthur, the last month, has been a better pitcher. He just has. So all of a sudden, you maybe have versus one guy that you could potentially count on. Is there a chance we're talking in 2 weeks where we're actually confident in three arms in the bullpen? That automatically would mean they're a better bullpen in the second half if that happens. And so yeah. Even if the rotation were to slip a little bit, if suddenly the bullpen elevates, that could be the balancing act. Now, if the bullpen is what it was in the first half and the rotation slips, then we're having a different conversation. Right. I think the offensive point you made is more than fair. You know, I don't know if there's any lineup in baseball that has four guys all going at once for more than a week or two straight. If they do, then they're yeah. The Guardians are the best team in the American League record-wise. That's the other part, actually, with this whole second half thing about how, you know, what would be the reason why maybe the Royals do something? What would be the reason why the Guardians slip up too? Because are they capable of keeping up this pace themselves, the best record in the American League? This whole division has been better than everybody thought. I mean, this was supposed to be the laughingstock division of baseball. Some of that is because the Guardians also are way better than everybody thought. The Royals are way better than everybody thought. And that's how you end up with a division that is just way exceeding preseason expectations. Is that what they truly are? I think we've seen enough baseball that this division is this. Mm-hmm. Or are we going to be talking in a month and a half and be like, wow, okay, this looks more like the division we thought it was?
Yeah, I think it's also interesting to think like it's a three-team race. I know Detroit is flirting kind of in that wild card spot, but I don't trust in Detroit like you as well. I mean, I know they have a couple good pitchers. They have one, you know, Scooble's pretty solid. And they got a few sticks in that lineup. But this is one of those things where like, I don't know if it's true for Cleveland, but when you're at the top, eventually you're just like, you know, when are these people going to leave us alone? When are they going to get away from us? Minnesota and Kansas City are hanging around very, very fluently. And eventually that can cause, you know, some mind games. I'm not saying that it will, but you're asking the question. I'm trying to answer the best I can. And that is, you know, eventually you get tired of, you know, the gnat flying around your head to where you're like, all right, you know, enough of this. You either break or it doesn't bother you. And Cleveland is having career years from people in their lineup in the first half. I mean, who saw Kwan coming out being like the best hitter in the American League? You could still say it's Bobby because he has more hits, but Kwan's leading the league in average. Bobby right behind him, right? And Ramirez is obviously proven he is what
he's
he
done
is.
Like he's six-time All-Star or whatever.
He's that guy that we all can't stand here in Kansas City. And that's kind of a good thing because you want more hate in sports, and that's just what that is. But Cleveland's going to have a lot of, you know, and that's the other thing too, is like, to be fair to Cleveland, to also be fair to the Royals and Twins, whether we believe it or not, we're running out of games quicker than we think. So that also adds pressure to the Twins and the Royals. We're going to see what kind of team you are when your back's against the wall, when it's like, no longer can you control, like if Cleveland plays the A's, now you can't control how many games are left. And we start to hear that magic number the later we get into it. So yes, Cleveland has to worry about who's on their tails, but also on the flip side of it, these two teams that are battling, that are trying to get a wild card spot, are also having to worry about running out of time, because whether you believe it or not, the second half is already here and it's going to get shorter and shorter and shorter. So that adds pressure to everything as well. So I'm interested to see how the Royals do play with a little bit more added adversity.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.